All right, let's close out then with talking about the other upcoming events.
In the middle of one of our dialogues with the beloved community, we do affinity groups. And so when we broke up into the affinity groups, we had a white group or two white groups, and then the non-white groups. And what we realized is that there, in addition to being people of color, there are people of color who are not black who felt that they didn't quite know their place, that an emphasis had not been placed on them in terms of what was going on. I work at the University of Michigan, and I realized that my colleagues were doing anti-Asian discrimination workshops to talk about the attack, the racial attacks against Asians. And so we decided that we would invite that group of folk who know the history of Asians in our country and the current reality that they're faced to do the workshop on this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock, June the 13th, to talk about the history of anti-Asian discrimination in the United States.
Okay.
With Stephen Kim.
Lynn. Stephen Lynn.
Stephen Lynn. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a virtual event as well?
All of these are virtual.
Yeah. Okay.
In the beginning, folks said, Pat, what are you talking about, virtual? We don't know how to do this. Look what we're able to do now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing? Quickly we learn when we need to.
We are almost as tech savvy as our children now. That's something.
Well, I'm not sure I'd go that far. So
right.
the 27th is called Road to Tyranny. What am I forgetting the rest of it?
Road to Tyranny if we don't get out the vote.
That's right. That's right. If we don't get out the vote. And our speaker that day, we've had her once before, but we are really reaching out to get people to listen. This is a woman who is a former prosecutor in Los Angeles, a lawyer, human rights activist who has been to the southern border 10 different times, has been in the detention camps, and has really viewed up close what has happened in all four states along the southern border where we have people in detention. And what her message is that we are being prepared to live in a police state if we don't get hold of what's going on. She's a very powerful speaker. She has a lot of information about what's actually happening, and we're seeing some of that right now, the way that the protests are playing out and the way that some of the police or the militarization of the police, the way that law enforcement is handling some of these things. And so it's very important for people to hear her message. And then at the conclusion of her message, we will have two people from the People Power Group who are part of the Get Out the Vote movement, and they will explain how important the vote is and how people can get involved to make sure that we have, that all people have the opportunity to vote.
And on that last point, one of the major interactive pieces of that workshop that most people don't realize that in the state of Michigan, all of us have the right to request a mail-in ballot. But what was pointed out is that addresses are often wrong. So they're going to do an interactive piece of their workshop where folk can actually go to the website, which any of us could do any day, but to take folk literally to the website and with confidentiality to plug in their names to make sure that they're registered, that that's part. and that we're focusing on the leaders in the community, that they then may go and show their own constituents how to go to the State of Michigan website, look up to see that they're registered, so they can then get the ballot, so they can then vote.
All right. That is all very important information for people to know. I don't think we can say that too often, how important it is to vote. Okay. And are there any other comments that you'd like to make to close out the conversation? I know we're planning to talk again. I think we're going to have other conversations about other topics related to the Beloved Community Initiative's work. But anything anyone would like to add to this one?
I did just send you the little explanation of who we are, Joni. I sent you the document so that you have that.
Got it. And I have all the links for the event, so that'll be posted with this episode of the podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
That people begin to appreciate Juneteenth and what Juneteenth means, and like it was stated previously by both Cheryl and Dr. Coleman Burns, that not just Black people, right? All of us appreciate the history of Juneteenth. Everyone celebrates 4th of July. Everyone celebrates Memorial Day. Everybody celebrates those other, like, American holidays. And this should be just the same. This should be up there with those holidays where we all celebrate and appreciate what Juneteenth means.
As a matter of fact, Pennsylvania just declared Juneteenth a state holiday. So we're just talking about what a good idea that would be for Michigan.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It's been recognized here since 2005. I think Lansing was the first, and because we, you know, in 2005 there was a formal recognition of the event, but a recognition, you're right, is not the same as making it a state holiday.
Absolutely.
We're not far beyond pushing for a federal holiday at this moment.
That's a good point, James. Yeah.
All right. Thank all of you. I appreciate you taking the time today to chat, and I know that this is great and important information for our community. So thank you again.
Thanks so much.
And
right.
Bye,
everybody.
We want to thank you, Joni. We want to thank you so much. You've been there for us. We see your entries in the Farmington Voice. You've always been there to highlight all the work that we've done. We thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.